Hello and good morning. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. We continue our community information sessions on COVID vaccinations and the Delta variant, and now we're looking at the Delta Plus variant and then the Lambda variant coming after that. So today our guest is Ms. Catherine Wiley with Samuel Rogers Healthcare, and we're going to discuss efforts by the clinic to fight COVID-19 in areas where there are low vaccination rates by going door to door. Good morning, Catherine. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Catherine, can you tell listeners a little bit about yourself? Are you originally from the Kansas City, Missouri area?
Actually, no. I am a native Detroiter, but I went to University of Missouri, and I've been in Kansas City for over 20 years now.
So how long have you worked at Samuel Rogers?
I'm actually new to Sam Rogers. I started in November, actually during the pandemic. Everyone had, I think, a COVID-19 moment, and my moment was that I knew I needed to really get in the fight and help people. I needed to do meaningful work, and that's what we're doing here at Samuel Rogers.
So what brought you to Sam Rogers? What, you said you wanted to do meaningful work, but what decided that was the place for you really to come?
Well, it was an interesting story. I worked with Samuel Rogers. I was a vendor, and so they were familiar with my work and with me, and so it was really a kind of a natural progression. So I got an opportunity to come work for my favorite client, essentially, and I've always been impressed with the work that Samuel Rogers has done in the community. I've known about Samuel Rogers for, you know, well over a decade, and I just love what they do. I think it's imperative to provide high-quality, compassionate, affordable health care regardless of people's ability to pay.
How long has Samuel Rogers been in existence, ma'am?
It's been in Kansas City since 1968. It was the fourth federally qualified health center to get that designation. It was the first one west of the Mississippi. So it's been in Kansas City for over 50 years.
But before with Sam Rogers, it was another... The clinic had another name. Can you tell us a little bit about the name before and how it was changed to Sam Rogers?
Sure. Initially, Samuel Rogers was named after Wayne Miner. Now, there is a housing project called Wayne Miner, but Wayne Miner was actually a Buffalo soldier, and he was a war hero. And a lot of people, I don't think, really realize that history. So it was named in honor of him. And later on, it was renamed after Dr. Samuel Rogers, who founded the center. He just was committed to taking care of people regardless, and he just, of their ability to pay, and he felt like you shouldn't have to beg to be taken care of.
So, what is the mission of Sam Rogers Healthcare Center?
Again, the mission of Samuel Rogers is to provide high-quality, compassionate, affordable health care for all. So, we take care of everybody.
And you all have a patient-centered approach. Can you tell us just a little bit how that actually works and how that makes them the center of everything that's going on with them and their healthcare struggles that they may be going through at that time?
Absolutely. Samuel Rogers is really a healthcare home. We take care of everyone, basically 0 to 100, literally. So we take care of newborns. We provide prenatal care. We provide women's health, adult medicine, pediatric medicine. We provide dental services. We have health insurance services, and they help people sign up for Medicaid as well as insurance on the health insurance marketplace. We'll have an ophthalmology clinic coming soon. And we also focus specifically through population health and our community health care workers, which are a little bit newer, but they kind of are a wraparound service. And what we do is we work with people who have chronic conditions. A lot of people in this area and in Kansas City have things like diabetes and hypertension, which is a silent killer, as well as things like asthma. And those are conditions that can really diminish your quality of life. But what we do is we help patients to find ways to get medications, to learn how to manage those symptoms better, so that they can live a better lifestyle. And it goes far beyond just meds. It also goes into changing how you eat, exercising, just looking at your life as a whole, and we treat the whole person. So it's what we do here. And, oh, and I'm sorry, I forgot. I'm remiss. We also provide behavioral health. So in a pandemic right now where people are really challenged, we also provide that service as well. So there's kind of not much we don't do. We have an award-winning WIC program. It's women, infants, and children. We have some of the highest numbers for breastfeeding in the state of Missouri. We have work with Happy Bottoms. We have a location here where we help people in need get diapers for their children, as well as Healthy Start, which is another program that helps parents to get their kids off to the right start to make sure that they don't have health issues. The best way to end a health issue is to stop it before it starts.
And Catherine, where is Samuel Rogers located?
We actually have four locations. Our main location is on Euclid Avenue. It is at 9th and Euclid, and we've been in this area for a long time. We have a location on North Oak. We have a location at Clay County, Clay County Health Center, and that's in Liberty. And then we also have a location on Summit Avenue.
So I know a lot of people may be listening from Kansas. Do you all have any Kansas locations or any plans to maybe expand into Kansas?
At this time, we do not. But just so people are aware, we do accept patients that live in Kansas because at our Summit location, because it's kind of on the border. We also accept and can help people sign up for Kansas Medicaid if need be.
So you've got a bi-state reach. So for those who may be right there on the border, they can still come to you and get services.
That's correct.
You can also help them get other services through the state of Kansas.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's definitely something that in this time of pandemic that definitely a lot of people need, because a lot of people getting sick right now, they've been laid off and they don't know exactly what they can do as far as getting quality health care coverage. What is the ability to, a lot of people who may lose that health care insurance right now, are there still availability to be able to open up if they've just lost their job through the government programs, or is there any programs out there that may help them qualify for those who may have just lost their insurance coverage?
Yes, actually there are. One of the things is that when the new administration came in, they reopened the health insurance marketplace. And so what our health insurance services team does is they actually meet with you and they talk you through your options in terms of insurance and what you may need. There's a lot of subsidies available right now. So one of the things our team spent a lot of time doing was following up with current patients we already have and current people, the clients we already have who are enrolled in the health insurance marketplace, to help them find new subsidies and even lower their monthly payment. Just so for your own information and for your viewers' information, your listeners' information, they can call 816-889-4634. Again, that's 889-4634 if they want to talk to someone on our health insurance services team.
So what is the service area for your clinic and for your satellites? Because you said people in the Summit location, they can see people in Kansas. What is that service range that you accept people in that catchment area?
Well, because we have multiple locations, we actually service all of Jackson County. We service in areas of Clay County because we have two locations in Clay County. And again, we have serviced some people in Wyandotte as well. So our catchment area is pretty large. We also have a partnership with the Blue Springs School District with our behavioral health team. So we have a pretty large catchment area. And depending on where people live and where they're located, we also can help them potentially with transportation. So they can contact the facility, and if that's available, we can get transportation for them as well. So we transport to and from appointments as well.
So you provide, and I was just going to ask you that question. So in some cases, I know some places people may have a difficulty getting to appointments. So you all provide transportation to help people get to their appointments?
Absolutely. That's another thing. We want to eliminate all barriers to care. And we realize that one of the challenges and one of the barriers to care sometimes is that you simply can't get to care, and we want to make sure that we can help people do that. So, yeah, we specifically can do that as well. So, and I have a specific transportation number that I don't mind sharing, but I just want to make sure people are aware of that. If they have an appointment, we can connect them and look for options for them to help them get to their appointment.
So does that transportation assistance service work for families that may have children who may have appointments also?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. We transport pregnant moms. We transport families. We do, you know, anybody in need, you know, because that's, we have a mission to take care of people. We also partner with Jewish Vocational Services as well as Della Lamb, and we work with their refugee program as well.
So I know let me ask this question. How has COVID impacted Sam Rogers Healthcare Center?
Well, you know, like everyone else, COVID has had a challenging impact and been devastating. Like all dental operatories, we had to shut our dental operatories down for a period of time. What we were able to do was reopen them because we were able to install negative air pressure, which sucked out all the air, because the challenge is you have the mist, you know, while you're taking care of someone, and people still need dental care. And we also have expanded our dental department so we can take more patients for that. But yeah, at this point, that was probably one of the biggest impacts. Dental completely shut down, but to be frank, we never shut completely down during COVID. We may have kind of rotated staff, but our patients still needed to be seen. We did some telehealth. I mean, we still do. That's another service that we offer. But in general, we were never completely closed. We just have a duty to the community, and a lot of our patients wanted to be seen in person, so that's what we did, and we accommodated that.
So, let me get this, form this question I was going to ask. One of the things that people look at, as you said, the telehealth. So, is it helpful? A lot of you people you may see are seniors. So, is it something they can do by iPad, or is it something they need to call in on? Do they help people who are, you know, susceptible to COVID, who may need to, you know, call in for a telemed appointment or a video appointment?
Yeah, we've done a few things to help people with that. They would need some type of device, so they can do it with a phone or an iPad. They would need an internet connection. We had at one point been also giving out wireless internet to people just through a hotspot, because we knew that was a challenge. But overall, our patients still preferred to come in, so that's what we did. But we definitely helped them, because you know what? The challenge is, if someone comes in and they may have symptoms of COVID, and it's interesting, you know, when you're looking at the Delta variant, for example, some of the symptoms are a little bit different, the initial variant we've seen of COVID. So we do actually have a sick area that we can isolate until we figure out kind of what's going on with them too. And we also provide COVID testing on site at our clinics.
One of the things about Sam Rogers is that you all treat people regardless of their ability to pay. But do you all take, what type of insurance benefits do you all take? You know, is there a way a person that may have, you know, Missouri Medicaid, or they may have the Marketplace, is there a way they can call and find out to ensure that they will be covered?
Sure, they can call and find out they'll be covered. But I will tell you, quite frankly, we take private insurance as well as Missouri Medicaid and anything off the health insurance marketplace. We also accept VA benefits. I think that's something people don't realize, as well as Medicare. So there's really not a lot we don't take. But if they do want to call and ask a question, again, they can reach out to our health insurance services team. That number is 816-889-4634. Again, that's 889-4634. And they can ask any of those questions, and they can answer them as well. But, yeah, we work with people to make sure that we can do everything needed. And if someone doesn't have insurance and they need to pay cash, and we even have a program that's developed so that we can minimize how much they'd have to pay.
So for those that may have veterans benefits, is that something that they need to go through their provider at the VA? Or because sometimes paperwork and red tape can be really difficult to navigate. Is that something that they need to start with the VA, or that can they come straight to you all and you all would help them with that process?
You know what, because we're a primary care provider, we're not, you know, they're not looking for a specific specialty service. They wouldn't need that referral. So they should be able to come here and get started.
So you briefly mentioned it earlier, Catherine. Does Sim Rogers do COVID testing?
Yes, we do. We do COVID testing and we do vaccinations. We do testing every day, Monday through Friday. So if someone comes in and says they need a COVID test, we can get them tested.
So are they doing the nasal swab or are they doing the cheek swab?
You know what? We're doing the nasal swab primarily. We have some rapid tests. I will be frank. Sometimes, occasionally, a rapid test I've seen may give a false positive. The cheek swabs just aren't as accurate. They are good for smaller children, but I've just found they're not as accurate. The nasal swab may feel a little uncomfortable, but it does give you a good, accurate response and we make sure that you know for sure about your results as soon as we receive them.
Yes, it is. Having had a couple, they are very uncomfortable, and I was so happy when they switched from doing both nostrils just to doing one, because it was like I saw stars after the first one. I'm like, okay, can we count to 10 a little bit and give me time to recover and kind of go this other route?
Yeah, the first time I had to get a COVID test, I just wasn't ready for how far they went. I hear you. It was not quite what I expected, in not a good way. But it being safe beats being sorry. So our nurses and our staff are as gentle as possible. I will tell people that, so I don't want you to be scared about getting a COVID test, because you need to know if you're having any symptoms you think may be a point of concern. You definitely need to know and get tested.
So if somebody feels like they may be exhibiting signs of COVID, do they need to make an appointment, or is that a walk-in clinic?
They can actually walk in and get a test. So the good thing is we will make arrangements for that. So if people come in and they, you know, we have graders at the front, and if they talk to the person and say, I need to get a COVID test, they, depending on if they're having active symptoms, they may move them to our area that's specifically where negative air pressure is. It's more of an isolation area, and get them tested. But yeah, we're doing tests every day, so they can go back to the adult clinic if it's an adult and get tested the same day.
So do you test children also?
Yeah, we do test children. I was probably the saddest test I saw was a little bitty. It was, I think that baby was maybe a year old. But I think what had happened, the family just wanted to be safe because they had had an exposure, so they tested everybody. At the time, we were doing, in partnership with Worlds of Fun, we were doing COVID testing there. And, you know, they had a car full of people. It was like a minivan with like five people in it. And we even had to test little bitty that was there too. But yeah, it was, we test on children and adults.
So, Catherine, Sammy Rogers is taking the lead in vaccinating those who live in its service area. But what do you think has led to the low vaccination rates in the neighborhoods east of Truce? And kind of to put this in perspective, in Kansas City, Jackson County, about 40% is where we're at. So if you walk into a room and you have 10 people in a room, you can assume that one-third of those people are not back. Only one-third of those people are vaccinated, and two-thirds are not.
Absolutely. That's correct, which is why I think wearing a mask is important. It is a considerate thing to do for not just yourself, but to protect others. And you're 100% correct, because our rates are not as high as we'd like them to be. We really need to be masking up, especially with the new variants on the rise. One of the challenges, I think, is there's a lot of misinformation in our in the community. I have heard a lot of interesting things. I've heard everything from it will sterilize you. That's something that really has seemed to have stuck in, particularly in the Latinx population. I've heard that people believe they're being chipped. I just want to make sure and say that out loud. That is completely untrue. You are not being chipped. It will not magnetize you. If you're worried about being chipped, your cell phone is tracking everything you're doing, as well as your debit card. So if you're worried about that, you're already being tracked with those two items. So no, you're not being chipped when you get vaccinated. The vaccination is not horribly painful. It's really a very standard shot. My second shot, quite frankly, there's a technique nurses can use that I barely even realized that she stuck me, and it was done so fast I was kind of surprised. And you're not talking about major side effects, and it really protects you from the effects of COVID-19. So, yeah, misinformation is really just kind of a big challenge. I've heard some pretty other far-out things that have to do with zombies and some other things I think are just kind of pretty far gone. But I think the biggest challenge is there's just a lot of misinformation and distrust in the community that we serve, and I think people don't know what to believe. Reading something on social media doesn't make it true. And the best thing that we're trying to do is make sure that we disseminate facts. And we're doing that by not only through social media, but we also are going out and talking to people. We've been going out door to door. We have a couple more events that we're doing that we're going door to door as well.
So, Catherine, how has personal engagement worked when you've talked with people about getting vaccinated when you show up at their door?
You know, that's actually, it's been, I think, worked surprisingly well, because one thing we're doing, even if we don't get them to get vaccinated that moment, is we're planting a positive seed. Often, people just want to be heard. That's what I'm finding. People want to be able, when we come to the door and someone asks, we're going around the neighborhood, we're talking to people about getting vaccinations, have you been vaccinated? Say, for instance, the person says no. We ask, you know, can we ask why? And I haven't had anyone ever be angry or mean. Quite frankly, the opposite. They've been very open and willing to talk. They've talked about concerns. They've talked about maybe some things that they've heard that are misinformation, and they're a little concerned. Some people have even talked about the fact that they haven't they just aren't sure what to believe. So we have those kind of conversations as well.
And for many of those people who reside in mm-hmm. East of Truce neighborhoods, as you mentioned earlier, they already have underlying conditions. Why is it so critical for them to get vaccinated?
When you already have underlying health conditions, it is imperative that you're getting vaccinated, because when you have an underlying health condition, COVID can affect you even more adversely. For example, we haven't seen as many long haulers when you're talking about COVID-19, but long haulers are people that have symptoms that continue to go on far past what happens normally when you have COVID. So a lot of people have fortunately been able to get over COVID, but then there are people who have experienced things like memory loss, flare-ups of autoimmune diseases and disorders, chronic fatigue, chronic shortness of breath, and even, you know, things with lupus, rheumatoid diseases. There's a thought process that's out there I was reading about that thinks that maybe these are people who maybe would have eventually developed some of these issues, but that COVID-19 actually brought them on earlier.
And
so it created a different problem for them.
I know people who had COVID last October, and they've been released to go home, but they're on oxygen, so they're tethered to an oxygen tank dependent, because what the Delta variant is something that it is more or less it's more transmittable than a common cold, according to what the CDC has said.
Yes.
And you can easily spread it. And they were looking at it, and it's 1,000. People have 1,000 times more particles in their nasal tract, which makes it easier to spread. So, and I know we've just came underneath, the mayor has renewed the mask mandate. But Catherine, why is it important for people to wear a mask?
It's important for people to wear a mask because it really is protecting people around you. Whether people understand that or not, there are a lot of people say, well, doesn't affect disease? It absolutely has been scientifically proven to prevent disease. And what it does is, say, for example, like you mentioned your nose and you have all these extra, 1,000 extra times more particles in your nose. If you have COVID and you're asymptomatic, so, and you don't realize you have COVID, you're shedding COVID everywhere. So if you're covering your nostrils and your mouth, and so there's no particles going, they're being covered and it's being prevented from going out, you're protecting other people around you. So really, we're wearing masks to protect each other. It really should be, let's do this together. And I think that's something people don't mention enough, is that this is about protecting your community. And, I think there are a lot of people who have been fortunate that they may not have been touched by COVID, but me personally, I have been. I know people who have passed away from COVID. So my posture is very different, I think, than someone who may be like, well, I don't know anybody. I know a lot of people who have had COVID. And I know a lot of people that once they've had it have told me, you don't want COVID. Whatever you do, you don't want that. At one point, once people got on a ventilator, there's a good possibility they're not going to come off. And that's the fear. And with the Delta variant, what they're seeing is that younger people are getting sick. And they're ending up hospitalized. So when I'm saying younger people, I'm even talking about children. So you're seeing more children being hospitalized, and you're seeing more people that are 18, to 35. So when you're talking about really a younger population of people that often think they're a little bit invincible until they figure out they're not, it's a real challenge.
And having had COVID, the first 3 or 4 days myself, it was like, oh, this is not too bad. And by day 5, I was like, oh my God, this is exactly, what I can see what people were saying, because definitely it impacts your lungs and your ability to breathe, and it zaps your energy. And all it makes you do is want to lay down and rest. And even when you are not, when you test negative, still for about 2 or 3 weeks after that, you're still feeling that after effects of that COVID.
Right.
So people need to understand that. It's not something that, and as what you're saying, yes, is correct, is that a lot of people now, the Delta variant is attacking those who are unvaccinated, but it's also attacking those who are vaccinated, but it's also targeting those who are, as you said, between 18 and in their mid-40s, who are people who thought they would never have to do, would be invincible, but they're finding out that they're not. And now, you hear the stories, they've been on CNN, the people of, well, can I take the vaccination now? You can't take if you actively have COVID, they can't give you the vaccination.
Right.
So people need to understand that. And then one myth that people, when you get the flu vaccine, they're giving you a version of the flu.
Right.
When you get the chicken pox, you're getting a version of the chicken pox.
Right.
And many people think, well, they're giving me a COVID vaccination, they're giving me COVID. That is something that's simply not true. They're not giving you COVID when you get the vaccination.
Correct. Absolutely 100% correct. None of the vaccinations that have been approved for emergency use in the United States contain an active COVID virus, even a dormant COVID virus. That is simply not what's happening, which also leads to another piece of misinformation. I'm glad you brought it up, is that there are people that think that the mRNA, which is the technology behind the COVID vaccines for Moderna and Pfizer. They think that they're changing your DNA. They're not. What they're doing is they're helping you to get develop immunity to COVID-19. So that's really what's happening. I think one of the challenges, people just have read a lot of things on social media and haven't really dug into, say, any medical information about it, any type of CDC information on the CDC website, any type of medical study or journal or article. And I think if they really went and read about it, another thing, too, is that mRNA has been in use for over 15 years in other medications. So for people that tell me, oh, it was created too quickly, actually, the technology was already in existence, so creating the vaccine was easier because it was already in existence. They didn't have to create the technology for it. So that's the reason that they were able to come out with a vaccine in under a year. And with so many people succumbing to COVID, it really was necessary. And I have been vaccinated. I am fine. I made sure that my parents, who are both over 80 years old, have been vaccinated. My mother, my sister, my husband, my son were all vaccinated at Samuel Rogers. So I made sure that they're taken care of. I have two sons in college who have both been vaccinated.
So we're going to take a short break. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI. This is Kansas City's community radio station. And our guest today is Ms. Catherine Wiley, who is with Samuel Rogers, and we're talking about COVID vaccinations and vaccination in the community. Stay tuned, right back after this short break. We're back. This is Joseph Jackson, hosting Cowtown Conversations on 90.1 FM. And today our guest is Ms. Catherine Wiley, who is with Sam Rogers Healthcare Center. And we're talking about vaccinations, but also the door-to-door program. So, Catherine, were people surprised when people showed up at the door to say, we're here to give you a COVID vaccination if you wanted like one?
A little surprised, but they were, like I said, pretty receptive. We started off, we did Brush Creek Towers. We did this in partnership with HRSA, with HUD, and with the Kansas City Housing Authority. And so we are looking at areas in our service area and also areas within zip codes where we've had challenges getting people vaccinated. So that's really where we started targeting. And then we did another area. We did Wayne Minor and T.B. Watkins. We canvassed those areas. We knocked on doors. We left door hangers if people weren't home. But in general, some of them were a little surprised, but they were pretty receptive. Again, people wanted to be heard. Some of them asked questions. Over the course of those 2 days, we got 49 people to come over and get vaccinated.
So when you show up at the door, is it a conversation and then that will lead to a vaccination on the spot, or do they need to come back to the clinic to get vaccinated at that point?
Well, what we did was we have a mobile medical unit. So for the first day, we parked at an area within the Wayne Minor community that was walkable. And we had about 10 volunteers out that day, 10 of our staff members volunteered to canvas that day, and we divided the community up, and we talked to different people, and they were able to come over and get vaccinated. It was walkable for a large portion of that area. And then when we did TB Watkins, we parked right at the Climber Center, so that was walkable as well. So we actually were bringing the vaccine to them, and they were able to vaccinate on spot the same day.
So for a lot of those people who reside in that community, you have Somali, you have Latino, there can be a lot of language barriers that may be difficulty in communicating while you're there. How do you all overcome that at Samuel Rogers?
Well, Samuel Rogers is a wonderful, diverse place. We speak over 40 languages at our clinic. And so I'm also fortunate to have multiple members on our team who speak multiple languages as well. So the good thing was we are able to overcome those because we work with interpreter services in addition to having people that speak multiple languages on our team. So we were able to kind of do that door knocking and speak to people in the language they need to be communicated in best.
So, Catherine, and this is one of the first that I've heard of doing this. Let's go back. What are the approved vaccines for COVID right now?
So we have three vaccines that have improved for emergency approval. Pfizer, the Pfizer vaccine is again, one of the mRNA vaccines. It's approved currently for children and adults ages 12 plus. There are two shots. Moderna is approved for 18 plus. It's mRNA vaccine, and it's 18, and it's two shots. A vaccine, and it's approved for 18 plus, and it's a single dose shot.
Also, you have the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
The J&J vaccine, yes.
We've got a caller online, too. Rich, can you, long-time listener, can you tell us what your question or comment is? Are you there, Rich? Hello, Rich, are you there?
I can hear him.
Okay. You can't hear him.
Well, you know what? That's something that, again, you'd have to come to the center and make an appointment, and then we could work with you to see kind of what's going, what your status is and what your situation is. So that's something you need to call the center. If you need to call the center to get an appointment, we can do that. Our number is 816-474-4920, and you'd need to call and make an appointment, and then we can work with you from there. It depends on your status and your service. So we can help people that maybe can't afford it, but again, they have to be patients. We can't just help people that we don't, that we are not our patient.
You're a little low there. I can barely hear you, Rich, but keep going. So, all right. I can barely hear you, Rich, so if you've got continue that question, you just call back on our studio line, 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. So the Johnson & Johnson has been, you know, it's the one shot. What is the difference in between the Johnson & Johnson other than Moderna and Pfizer are two? What ages can take Johnson & Johnson, and what difference, what does it provide a different level of immunity versus Moderna and the Pfizer shot?
Well, here's the thing. It's a little hard to compare the two because their chemical makeup is very different. One of the advantages to Johnson & Johnson over Pfizer and Moderna is they don't have to be kept as cold. And also, they can be a one dose. If you're comparing in terms of immunity, I can't recommend one over the other. I think they all have been proven to be efficacious. The biggest thing though is that with the J&J, it's 18 plus, where Pfizer is going to be 12 plus, and then Moderna is 18 plus as well. And Moderna and Pfizer have two doses, so they have the initial dose and then they have a follow up booster, where J&J does not have a follow up booster.
So, Catherine, when you go door to door, do people have a choice of which vaccine they can ask to receive, or is it they're just basically giving out the, most likely the Pfizer since the age is 12 and up?
No, we actually have all three vaccines.
Okay.
So there are people that prefer the single dose, and that's no problem at all. But we have that available as well as Moderna and Pfizer, and people have different preferences for something they've read, different reasons, whatever the case may be. If they're vaccinating a child, someone that, you know, because we're getting ready to go back to school, they definitely would have to do Pfizer if you're talking about anyone under between the ages of 12 and 18. But otherwise, they have an option if they're over 18.
And I know you have a lot of people in that community who may, as we were saying earlier, from other countries. Are you having difficulty trying to get people who may be Somali, who may be Latino, whose primary English is not Spanish, getting them to understand? Do you provide them the materials? Is it provided in, you know, if you're Latino, then it's provided in Spanish for you to be able to read it?
Yeah, we actually do have materials in Spanish as well as English. We also, again, will connect them with a translator if they have questions. So we make sure that we are able to connect with them and speak with them in the language that they best understand, to get them the information they need to help them make the decision they need to make. Ultimately, we hope that everyone gets vaccinated, but we are not pushy. We're actually just coming out bringing information. It's not a matter of putting us in a situation where we're coming in saying, you have to do this right now. It's it's not that at all. It really is engaging people and making sure that people understand that we are knocking on doors simply because we care about this community. We're invested. We've been here a long time. And because we do, we want everybody to be protected.
So, Catherine, if you get the first vaccine at the door, will you go back and provide that second shot? Or how do they get that second shot that may be needed two to three weeks later?
They'll be given a card. So when you get, and you've been vaccinated, I think so we kind of chatted about that. Mm-hmm. You get your vaccination card. It has all the information on it, on what you've gotten, and then they'll be given a date for their second shot. So we can, you know, they'll be vaccinated generally at our clinic, and they can actually, we can help them with transportation if they need that as well.
And just a tip, and people may have already heard this, but the first thing I did when I got my vaccination was I whipped out my cell phone and took a picture of the card, because it was a lot easier to be able to pull it up out of my cell phone than to take that card with me and to be able to maybe leave it on the table, leave it on the counter. We've all going every place with our cell phones. You always have it with you to be able to show. And with some places now in Kansas City, they're requiring you to show that you've been vaccinated. So instead of taking your card and possibly losing it, take a picture of your card, and then you've always got it with you. So then that makes it a lot easier. But if you were to lose your card, if you just remember where you were vaccinated at, they can go back in the system and see, and you can get it. That way people can get a replacement card if needed.
Yeah, they should be able to do that, because what happens is you're actually registered. They register your information. It's largely for statistical data, but they register your information when you are vaccinated, so that if something happens and you do need to get another card or that kind of thing, we can do that for you. We can help you with that. We had someone that we vaccinated recently. She was an older lady. She was kind of walking through the lot, and we were checking on her because it was very warm that day, and she didn't have any water with her, and she didn't have any type of hat on or anything, and it was very warm, and we were a little concerned. And when she came in to kind of sit down and rest, we were going to drive her home, she said, "Oh, you're doing vaccines. I actually need my second shot." And we were able to look her up by her information and get her a second dose before we took her home.
That is awesome, and that's what it's going to take in this community east of Troost to get people vaccinated, is to, as we've been talking about, explaining, but also having those conversations and people being heard. One thing that, and this is something that I credit Sam Rogers for, during the pandemic, a lot of people who were maybe undocumented, they were sick, they were home, in some cases they died at home. Can people who are undocumented come to Sam Rogers and get vaccinated for shots, be seen without?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. If you're undocumented, you can be seen at Sam Rogers. We are not worried about your documentation. We are not ICE. We're not doing any of those things. We also have a partnership for anyone who is in the Latinx community. We have a partnership with the Mexican consulate. Actually, one of my team members works there, and we can help people if they have challenges with documentation or need help with visas and those kind of things. So we can help with that as well. But yeah, we're not concerned about your documentation status. We're concerned about you as a person.
So you have done a few events already. Can you tell listeners a little bit about that and any events that you may have planned in the future?
Sure. Again, with our partnership with the Housing Authority, we've had events pretty much all over. We've vaccinated in partnership with Kansas City Parks and Rec at Garrison Community Center. We've held vaccination events in Parade Park at the Urban Youth Academy with our partner there, Darwin Penny. Mr. Penny has been fantastic to work with, as well as Carol Green from Parks and Rec. We have also partnered with, again, HUD and HRSA and the Kansas City Housing Authority, and that partnership is continuing, and that's really where the canvassing kind of began, because when we were partnering with our other partners, initially there was a lot of interest and people wanting to get vaccinated. So, you know, we had lines, and we were kind of going through and doing those things. But now that people have waned in terms of you know, getting vaccinated, we're having to take it to them. Now, we have seen an uptick, a slight uptick in people coming to get vaccinated on their own, coming directly to a clinic to get vaccinated on their own. I think the Delta variant has kind of woken some people up and helped them be more aware of what needs to happen and why vaccination is so important. But in general, we are very willing to take it to people because our concern is we just want our community to remain well.
And a lot of people think that if I get vaccinated, I can't get COVID, but that is not simply true. There's still breakthrough cases, but the vaccination will keep you from getting a severe case of COVID and then possibly having to be hospitalized and put on a ventilator, which we know that many people who end up going on the ventilator don't come off the ventilator.
Exactly. So what the COVID vaccination does is it's initially designed to not only help prevent you from getting a severe case if you do contract COVID, and it also helps you from contracting it too, so you're far less likely to contract it if you have been fully vaccinated. But again, like you said, it will prevent that hospitalization, and that is where the challenge begins. We're seeing more people being hospitalized and just succumbing or really getting sicker far more quickly with the Delta variant, and that is a major point of concern for us. So that's one of the things that I really want to emphasize and why it's so important, especially if you have underlying health issues, because what that does, your underlying health issues are just going to be exacerbated if you get sick. And so this helps prevent that. So that's what we're really looking to do, and that's our primary goal. But I think there is a misnomer that you can't get COVID if you get vaccinated. You can, but your case will be mild in comparison. But I would, and you still need to isolate, because the goal is, what we're finding is that people that get COVID, if they've been vaccinated, aren't spreading it as quickly, which has also helped control the spread of COVID-19. The challenge is, the reason the new variants are coming, because that's a question I know a lot of people have, is that it is going to continue to morph and continue to change until it can, because it's a virus, it wants to survive. So it's going to continue to change so that it can continue to survive and infect people. So if it doesn't have a host where to go that has someone that's been vaccinated, that's how the vaccine dies. That's how polio was eradicated. That's how smallpox were eradicated. You don't hear anybody getting polio anymore. You don't hear anybody getting smallpox in our country anymore, because those are things were eradicated by vaccines. Interestingly enough, if you look in the urban core at African-American seniors, when you're talking about age 65 to about 80, about 80% of them have been vaccinated. But the reason is, a lot of them remember polio. A lot of them remember those kind of illnesses, so they completely understood that vaccines save lives. So that's what they're willing to do. A lot of people that are younger than that, when you're starting to talk about people in their 40s and their 30s and their 20s, they've never experienced anything like a pandemic before. So they are a lot more likely to not comprehend the importance and the effectiveness of vaccines. And I think that's one challenge we face in addition to misinformation.
So, Catherine, school will be starting school. Will Sam Rogers be having any back-to-school events, vaccinations, and shots?
Yeah, we actually had our first back-to-school event on July 31st, this past Saturday. It was very successful. We offered school supplies. We had lots of vendors. We had people registering kids for school for charter schools, as well as the Kansas City Public School District. We offered childhood immunizations, because a lot of children are behind on their immunizations because of what happened last year with school. And we offer COVID vaccines as well. So we were able to do all of those things. We will also be participating in Summerfest on the 14th of August. It is in partnership with the Kansas City Public School System. And we will be in an event this Friday in partnership with Steel City Media, and they're having an event at Cable Dahmer Arena. We'll be offering COVID vaccinations there as well this Friday from 1 to 4.
So, is there any cost for the vaccinations?
No, there's no cost. This is not something that costs money. I had someone ask me, well, if why aren't they, someone asked me, why aren't they charging? The reason they're not charging is because it's imperative people get vaccinated. We want to remove, you know, the government wanted to remove any barriers. So cost can be a barrier. We don't want any barriers. What we want is to protect people and to prevent hospitalization, to prevent people succumbing to COVID, prevent people from having long-hauler symptoms, and help people have healthier lives. And that really is what this is doing. So, no, there's no cost. We simply will take some information from you when you come in, and we'll get you vaccinated. No problem.
What do people need to get vaccinated? Do they need to bring their driver's license, medical card, anything like that?
You know, all those things are helpful, but they're not required.
Okay. So, Catherine, is there a website where people can get more information or a phone number where they can call y'all's COVID vaccination clinic if you have one?
Sure. So I have a number for the clinic as well as our website. Our number for the clinic is 816-889-4795. Again, that's 816-889-4795. And that is to call in if you have any questions about getting a COVID vaccine and, you know, potentially finding out when you come in for a clinic. That's no problem. Again, our clinics are open every Wednesday from 8 to 4, and we're also vaccinating in the community. And then if you, our website is samrogers.org. Again, that's samrogers.org.
So as we close out, in your opinion, why is it important for people to get vaccinated, and especially with we're going back to schools, with we see the numbers increasing. We've got a positivity case count of over 14, and hospitals here are being overwhelmed. We've actually had, people may not know, there have been 9 people who have died from COVID-19. Why do people need to get vaccinated, Catherine?
People need to get vaccinated to protect themselves as well as their loved ones. Because here's probably the best scenario and the best way to make people understand this. If, let's just say, for instance, you're unvaccinated, you live with an older family member. You could potentially have COVID, not realize it, and brought it home to that older family member who doesn't have the strong immune system that you have, and it may potentially harm them, or they may even succumb to it. So the reality is that if we're not protecting ourselves and protecting our loved ones and getting vaccinated, we're potentially harming each other and not even realizing it, and it's completely unintentional. And that's just scientifically proven. So I know there's people that have challenges and concerns and will say things like, well, there's no proof. There's absolutely scientific proof. They can go to the CDC website if they have any questions. But there is actually scientific proof that vaccinations help to prevent the spread of disease and save lives. So if you care about your family and your loved ones, you don't have to get vaccinated just for you. Get vaccinated for them.
So I want to thank Kathleen Wiley for being our guest today on Cowtown Conversations. We never end Cowtown Conversations without a community minute. This weekend is the sales tax free weekend for state sales tax. So from midnight tonight until Sunday night at midnight, you can go out and buy your clothes, your school supplies, laptops up to $1,500. You know, all those things that children are going to need, you're going to save a little bit because you're not going to be paying state sales tax on that. So unfortunately, it's in Missouri only. So those who are in Kansas, you can come across the border and do a little bit of shopping and save yourself a little bit of money. Also, Jackson County has an emergency eviction program. You know, the eviction moratorium was just renewed. But folks, if you're in that situation, definitely go online at jacksongov.org and get more information, because the eviction moratorium is going to be lifted at some point, and we don't want to see anybody being removed out of a home when there was a programs out there that can help those. Remember also, Children's Mercy at the Adele Hall campus, which is 2400 Gillum, and their Broadway campus are doing COVID vaccinations for those from 12 to 22. So you can give them a call, but you can also call Sam Rogers. Folks, the goal of these shows is to give you information that is factual, actual, but to allow you to make the best decision for yourself. So we see a lot of people on TV saying, you know, they wish they had gotten the shot. So for Cowtown Conversations, join us next week, and we're going to have representatives from Chimney Medical Center are talking about the long hauler syndrome portion of it. Have a great day. Wear a mask. Stay safe. And stay tuned for My Place with Larry J.
Mm-hmm.